Save this. Welcome everybody to the January 31st Aries Bifold Working Group call. This is a hyperledger call, so the code of conduct and antitrust policies are in effect. Please check them out if you're not familiar with them. As you can see by your screen, the call is being recorded and the audio and maybe the video will be published shortly after the call. It'll be part of this agenda, and I will share my screen here so we can all work from the same page. All right, you should be able to see my screen. The the agenda you can all find on the wiki page. Please feel free to add your name as an attendee to the call today so that you can let everybody know you are here. I'm going to add mine. So today we will start in typical fashion with announcements. Well, first, does anybody want to introduce themselves? Are you new to the group? You want to say hi? You just want to tell people what you're up to? We'll give you a minute or two to do that up front here. So feel free to chime in and tell us what's going on with you or your project.
Hey, Jason, can you pass the link, please?
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat. All right, so it should be on my screen and you should see the link in the meeting chat. Okay, moving on. Announcements. So Aries Bifold 033 was released. It's just a small patch released last week. I was right in the middle of updating Bifold to 032. So I just went ahead and updated to 033, and that is merged in. So if you want to check that out, feel free with all the new features and fixes. One that I think is pretty cool is the ability to get revocation notifications. So if you're on a demo where you can revoke it on the fly, you'll see the wallet update in flight to show that the credentials revoked. And I think that's pretty cool. So thanks for everybody at AFJ for working hard on that. And if you want to join those calls, they're weekly on Thursdays. I believe they're the crack of dawn. They might be 6 o'clock, but they've got a wiki page too. So check those out. They're hosted by our friends in Europe. So I think that's why the time is early for us, late for them. Okay, on the agenda, I think, let me update this for today because we have some exciting things. Oh, looks like James has already done it. We have an OCA demo in discussion. I believe Akif from the BC Gov is on the call, and he's going to show off some work he's been doing with his, I guess, version 2 of the OCA. I'll let him explain it, but OCA is Overlay Capture Architecture. It's a way we've chosen to allow vendors of credentials to style them so that they can have a say on what they look like in the wallet, and each wallet doesn't have to implement a styling for every single credential. I think it looks great, and it's pretty good tech, so Akif will be demonstrating that.
James, Jason, I have a amendment. Sorry.
Hey, Mustafa, go ahead. What were you saying?
We have an amendment to the OCA, so we also need to talk about the OCA NPM package that we're working on. So yep, that should go in the agenda with the OCA demo in Ontario.
Perfect. We'll slide that in. I will edit and add that to the agenda.
When you say, is it an amendment to the actual specification, or is it just that you guys are working on the package?
No, we talked about it in the OCA meeting several times. So we are creating a unified package, NPM, so that your work, my work, everybody else's work is unified instead of just having versions everywhere.
Okay, so I've put that on the agenda. Why don't we kick off with Akif's demo? You ready, Akif, or do you need me to delay a little bit?
I'm just pulling up the RFC just so. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
Would you like to talk about the first item? First, talking about maintenance status and that topic.
Sure. I think that's a great idea.
If I can share my screen for a second, I have a little bit of a proposal here because we had talked about this some in the Bifold Summit, and I wanted to.
Yep, go for it, James.
Wanted to continue that discussion to make some forward progress on that. One of the things that I recently stumbled upon was the non-cred specification work. More specifically, though, one of the files that they have is a maintainers.md file. And I thought that one of the things that we have not specified as a community is how to become a maintainer. That's been a little bit of a looser process. And it could potentially benefit us to have a little bit more of a process surrounding that. I don't think we necessarily need to fully jump to a specification like this, like the associated legal text or whatnot, because we don't need to follow quite the we're not under that same level of need. But I think the process of being able to propose a new maintainer and have a vote by existing maintainers, that seems like a decent process to me. I would propose that we have something along these lines that gets committed and put into the repo, allowing additional people to become maintainers and go through that process. Questions or thoughts or concerns?
I like it. I think that gets maybe... It's one of the things we see in the settings of GitHub is to create a maintainers file. So I think this goes along well with GitHub's complaints they're making to us in the background. And I think it's a great way for people, yeah, because it's not documented. And even who you ask for, like, to become a, have the capabilities to merge pull requests isn't obvious. I've been working on the project a while, and I have a feeling it's still somebody in the Hyperledger admin communities, and we don't know who those are, how to contact them, or at least I don't. So I think a bit of documentation around this would really help.
Mm-hmm. As of right now, I believe that me and what is his name over on the Hyperledger community.
Is that Rye?
Yes, thank you. Me and Rye both have the privileges to add or adjust the maintainers list. So it's a, once the decision has been made, we can definitely get people added to that list.
Perfect. Okay, awesome. Who's gonna create a draft? James, do you want to do it? Shall I do it?
I can. You want to create a draft, and I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. So I will create.
And I'll put the link here in the chat so you can grab that.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm just adding it to. Okay, great.
Awesome. That's all I had on the maintainers topic. I think that we are going to, or I guess one of the other thoughts I do have, though, is I would like to get I think we should propose some additional maintainers, specifically from Indicio side. I want to propose getting Ryan Koch added to the project. And I believe Ontario wants to add some individuals also. So I think we'll get this finalized and actually merged in, and then I expect we'll have some proposals.
Perfect.
Awesome. That's all I had on that. Thank you, Jason.
Okay, I'm going to reshare my screen. Okay, I'm sharing my screen. I'm going to add one more thing to the repo. I'd like to add a robot, at least one, to our repo for code quality. And I think whatever one Timo uses in AFJ might be a good place to start, again, just for some commonality between the two projects so that it's a bit easier for people to contribute to both or maintain both or do whatever in both. But yeah, I think it would be fun to add one for code quality so that we could start making it a little bit more strict in the future, that when you create a pull request, it can maintain the status quo and improve code coverage with respect to testing, but not make it any worse, at least maybe not by a more than a fraction of a decimal point. So anyone have some thoughts or questions, concerns on that?
I think the primary mechanism that has been used on the AFJ side, I may be wrong, but I believe the primary mechanism has been a associated GitHub action, which kicks off a build for AFJ, as well as runs the unit tests and runs Prettier. So I think if we look at doing unit tests and Prettier, that would be the mechanism that I would look at for AFJ. Is there a specific one that I'm not covering or that AFJ is doing that you're referring to?
Yeah, can you guys see my screen okay? I'm showing the one that... So we do run Prettier and linting as part of a PR. So it does do some work to make sure that your code, I mean, the look and the feel of the code is up to spec. But the code coverage report would make sure that you've, you know, our test coverage is adequate. Like, what's our unit testing like?
Got it. So you're referring to the code coverage portion of this. Got it.
Yeah. And this is what they run in AFJ. And I think it would be an excellent contribution or an excellent feature to add to Bifold, just so we can see how it's going and then later ratchet down on PRs to make sure that some people who contribute PRs actually write tests for the code and try to improve code quality through better automated testing.
Jason, is that for creating the PR, like the actions run on the PR, raising the PR?
Yes, that's correct. This one gets run when you create a PR or you update a PR. So they've got this as their test, and they've got a few others down here, linting, which we do as well, continuous integration, which I don't know if we do a full iOS and Android build on a pull request. It might be on the merge. CodeQL, which is actually another good tool which we should integrate, that can find security flaws. That's CodeQL from GitHub itself. So that might be another good one to add. But yeah, the whole idea is add a few robots in there to do the laborious work of making sure the code quality is top-notch.
I think I have no concerns about adding a code coverage bot, because I think it just gives more information about a pull request. So.
Perfect. Anybody else? All right, I'll add that to an action item. Code cover. Okay. Boom. Keith, you want to do your demo?
Yep, sounds good.
Excellent. I think you should be able to share.
Oh yeah, you have to stop sharing. Okay, so
for everybody for everybody who's pretty new to the game, do you want to explain OCA a little to them?
Yeah, so OCA is overlays capture architecture, and basically what it does is it allows us to add supplemental information about some of the data that we display in the wallet, and it allows us to apply layers of formatting to the sort of base data that we have. So what we're doing is we're using OCA to apply branding on top of the credentials. I guess maybe Klesio might be able to explain this one better, but it was generated or designed by the Human Colossus Foundation, and for displaying various forms of data in a human and machine readable format. So we're applying this concept into the wallet in order for us to be able to brand credentials. So here, there's a spec that's been added, which is OCA for Aries. And this basically just talks about how we're using overlays capture architecture. So for, if you have a base wallet here, we would typically just display cards in this fashion, but you can apply various overlays on top in order to, put your own branding on or apply issuer branding on top of credentials here. So you can see how it's been applied for these credentials. So this sort of layout was sort of branding 1.0. So we've had support in the wallet for this for a while now. But what we're doing is we're trying to standardize the branding as we move forward. So this new spec was added, which is a style guide. And as part of that, we've updated sort of the parameters that we use in the card overlay. And we've also updated the layout or the sort of style for the credentials. So you can see that the credential list layout now has different properties or different units that you can apply to your credential. And then the detail screen has been updated accordingly. So I can show that now. So some of the attributes that we have for the card overlay include things like a logo for here. We have a primary and we have a secondary background. So the primary is the sort of main card body. And then we have a secondary background, which is sort of the sliced on the side. It also gets, we also have primary and secondary backgrounds for the credential details. So some of the properties that you can apply to brand credentials for issue or that issuers can supply are things like primary background colors, secondary background colors. You can add a background image or a background image slice. So I'll be showing you these different things. And then what we've done, which is different from the previous version of the branding, is we typically only had the credential name, which is here, and the issuer name, and you had an issuer logo and the issue date. What we've done as part of the update is to allow you to supply primary and secondary attributes. So these would be fields that are coming from the credential themselves that you can display right on the card itself. So I can show you that now. So the new layout is as follows. So here I have a credential offer, which is the best BC college student credential. So what I've done here is I've applied a background image slice and a primary background color here. And these are all configurable, so I can show you what it looks like. So here we have, for example, the Faber degree credential, and this is just the default branding that's been applied. It comes right out of the box. So if you do not provide a credential overlay, then we will apply some sensible sort of branding for you out of the wallet. So for example, we generate a random background color, and then based on the background color, we will colorize the text. So here we have the issuer name or the connection ID, and then we have the name of the credential itself. And then what we've done is we've just taken the first letter of the credential name and we plugged it in for the logo. And then here we've just applied an opaque background. What you'll notice here is that the revocation status or credential status is now an icon here. So before we had it displayed in bold at the bottom that this has been revoked, but it's now a status. And eventually over time, we could have different statuses for the credential that can be supplied here and can be displayed. And then clicking in, you can see that this is the sort of default branding for this. Basically, I want to call this an unbranded credential. So you can see we've applied this sort of sensible default here. And this is the revocation message that's now been. So here's an example of a card that we actually put branding on top, or we've added our own branding to. So I can show you what that looks like if we were to remove all the different things here. So for example, we had a logo, we've supplied primary, secondary background color and a background image. So in this case, I have to. Because it's trying to look for the card overlay from the bundle. And right now there's no overlay provided. Okay, so this is again what it would look like. So you can see it's taken the first letter of the connection name. And here we have an overlay that's called member card. It's a meta overlay that we provided, which tells us, which basically tells the user what the name of the actual credential is. So it's not pulling it from the credential definition itself. It's actually getting it from this meta overlay. So going back, I'm going to successively apply different properties. So if I add a primary background color, we can see that it's applied our background color, and here it's just applied an opacity on top. You can see now that because there's a meta layer here specifying the name of the issuer itself, it's taking the first letter of that issuer, which is L, and it's applying it in the logo. But if I wanted to apply a logo, I could just simply do that. Just to showcase what it looks like. So here now we have a logo, and you can kind of see what it looks like here in the credential details page. Now, if I wanted to, I could add a secondary background color, and that will update that little slice on the side there. Oops. So you can see now it's supplying the secondary background color. It's also been updated in the details page here. And then last but not least, what I'll do is I'll add a background image. Now the background image gets applied in the credential detail screen. One more time. And so you can see here when I open this up, now you have a background image here. So this basically allows you to add some nice branding according to the spec. Now, the last thing I wanted to show you was the primary and secondary attributes. So what you do is you can supply the name of the attribute itself. So in this case, I will say PPID. And if I wanted to, I could add a secondary attribute as well. And so you can see that it's taken the value from the credential itself, and it displays it directly onto the credential itself. So there's, you can provide up to two attributes. One is primary and one is secondary, and it will just apply it or display it on top of the card itself. Now, there are those of you who may not want to or not ready to upgrade to the sort of new branding. And so what I've done is I've refactored the OCA bundle resolver in order for you to supply a fallback so that you can keep the older branding. So the way it works is in your configuration file. So in the constructor here, you pass in your bundle, but then you have some options here. So you can say card overlay type. And if you say card layout 1.0, which is the older one, and 1.1, which is the newer one, it will default to the newer version of the branding according to the spec. But if you are, if you have a wallet where you want to maintain the older version, you can supply this. Into your configuration. And what it will do is we've kept both components in the wallet for now, and you have, okay, well, that didn't work as I expected. One sec. Oh, because
she's like a rolling drum.
Oh, on sorry. The
configuration file, did it have a do you have the comma that you need on line 14 after the after you specify the require?
So I've put it in the, sorry, I'm just going to find the configuration for BC Wallet because that one. Here we go. Because again, this is our configuration overriding bifold. So that's why it's defaulting to 1.1. Okay, so I think this should work now. Yeah, so here we go. So if you provide the fallback, the card overlay type, it will fall back to the old branding. So in this case here, I do not have an overlay. So as you can see, it's not applying properly, but in the this card is falling back to the older branded version of the card. And I think if I go to this one here, yeah, it's not branded properly. But anyway, so the idea is for those of you who are not ready to move to the newer branding, you can still supply a fallback, and then once you're ready, it will default to the newer branding. So that's sort of what's been added to the wallet.
Thanks, Keith. That looks great. Anybody got any questions while he's still on the line?
Yeah. So, Keith, for this configuration that you've showed us, is that I'm a little bit confused. We should rely on the JSON as a bundle, but now you're fetching something from a configuration object. So how do they correlate with each other?
So you're still relying on the JSON bundle.
Yep.
The difference was before it was pulling it in. It was doing that when you were instantiating the resolver. It was already doing that. In this case, you're just passing it in now as a constructor parameter.
So I guess the clarification for me is the we're passing the OCA JSON at build time, not as part of the issuance of the credential. Is that accurate?
Right now, the bundle is being added at build time. Yes.
Okay, that seems appropriate to me.
That was always the case, though.
Yeah, that's different, James, because that's temporary. Later on, it will be in AFJ. Exactly. But I mean, yeah, but exactly. I mean, my question, Akif, maybe you didn't understand well. My question is that you change some values, UI values, in outside the bundle JSON file. How that is correlating with the JSON files? Everything should be coming from the JSON file.
Well, okay, so we apply. We have different overlays.
Okay.
You still supply the same bundle, but mm-hmm. we have different overlays for that. So this is the overlay that aligns with the current RFC right here, right? And this is the overlay that is based on the older branding. Now, obviously, you can see that the parameters are different or the variables okay. are different. So we have to keep both, and you have to specify which one you want. Otherwise, we would default to using the overlay that's based on the spec, right?
Okay, so my understanding now is that you are already changed the bundle to reflect the new OCA specifications.
The bundle hasn't... The bundle, yeah, yes, that's right. Yes. So if you look at my branding here, technically what it is I'm passing in a bundle with the correct overlay. And so okay. based on this specification.
Akif, can you adjust based on that line that you have right now instead of a configuration outside of the bundle?
No. So the configuration is, okay. So let me backtrack here. This here is only for you to specify the fallback that you want. All right. Otherwise, I mean, so basically what I have is that it will either display the older branding or the newer.
Okay.
Now, if you want, yes.
So on that line, you're specifying the bundle, where is the JSON coming from, as yes. well as you're applying what version to process that bundle, correct?
Correct. Yes.
So what I'm saying is, if you go back to the branding file, mm-hmm. where you define that JSON file, version is already part of the specification. Can that be adjusted based on that?
No, because again, this is to do with how we which version to display on the wallet itself. This is not to do with the bundle.
Meaning the bundle is the same version between we display it differently, but it's the same bundle version.
Exactly. You're just responsible for supplying the right bundle. And then based on the card overlay type, it will either display the older branding or the newer branding. So really, this is just for us to be able to display one of the two options.
Okay. The JSON file, however, it's not the same. For version 1 and 1.1, they have different attributes.
Yes, because, okay. yes.
So that's what I'm saying. You can adjust the rendering based on the overlay itself version.
Yes, but then you display two types of credentials, so.
And that's fine. That's part of the issuer who controls that.
Okay.
And this is just a transition phase. Like eventually we want people to support the newer one and transition to that one, but we just don't want to break whatever it's already exists there.
So it's not going to break. That's the whole point. So I guess the fallback that I've had is it's one or the other, but if you want both, you can have it so that it will then pick out the layout type from the type itself. But otherwise, you are then going to be displaying two types of credentials in the wallet.
Hey, team, before we get too deep in the weeds, we're a little pressed for time, and I want to give the opportunity for a few others with their hands up to ask a question. Warren, you've had your hand up once or twice so far. You got a question?
Yeah, so I guess the confusion, I think, is coming from some of the layout being specified in a code, whereas the expectation might be that the layout would be specified itself as part of the bundle. I think that's where some of the confusion might be coming from.
Sorry, I might have missed that, Warren. Could you repeat it?
Yeah, I think there some of the confusion might be coming from part of the layout is being specified in the code, whereas we might expect that that layout would be part of the bundle specification itself.
So the layout is coming from the bundle itself, but because there's a disconnect between the older branding, the variables that we use or the names that we use versus 2.0, we have to code it in to be able to display one or the other. So there, effectively, the card is two separate components now.
Well, and I think to Warren's point is that the bundle is providing data values, and we have to implement it in code. We're doing that in two different ways here, and that separation is where we're having confusion.
Okay. So this is how it's always been done. All we did was we just added a second component in order to be able to display basically the updated card layout type. So if it's an implementation detail, then it might be something that we have to go and revisit.
I'm not concerned about it. And in fact, it's I like that the approach, because I think that one of the things that from some of my interests and perspective is that we need to have some flexibility in terms of how to interpret the OCA, meaning,
exactly.
Yes, we have a standard that we want to try and move towards for credentials, the RFC for how to display a credential. But I also know that there's use cases that need to be able to display those in differing ways. So
yeah.
There needs to be a...
So right now it is constrained. What we're saying is this is the option we're giving you as a consumer of Bifold, that you have the option to display your credentials using this way or this way. And we provide the components for that.
Yep.
I think down the road, a logical step would be that once we start to move the components out into their libraries, then users can plug in their own.
Yep.
And they can put their own sort of interpretation of the overlay itself.
I very much agree. Yep.
Yeah. So what we're saying is that according to the specification, if you provide this type of overlay, we will display it in this style. And that's aligned with the specification. You can choose not to follow that, but we just don't have a way for users to interpret the overlays right now on their own. So we provide two mechanisms.
Yes. What I think is powerful is that since you've provided two mechanisms, it is easier to provide for someone to add a third.
Correct. Exactly. So now all it is, for example, credential card, all it's doing is it's saying based on the card overlay type or whatever, display either one or the other. Now I can abstract this further and get the type from the actual bundle itself and do some sort of magic there.
Yep.
But then what it is for consistency, for our sake, is we are saying we're only displaying either the older branding or the newer one. Now, I could have it so that it displays all the different types of cards, so it could have both types, and that's easy to do. What I did is I constrained it to one or the other for now.
Oh, I think it makes sense from my perspective, at least based off use cases, to constrain it to one code interpretation, even if you have multiple bundles. Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess it depends on if there's a use case for us to show both, then yes, we can absolutely do that. But I think for visual consistency, it'd be nice to show credentials in one format or the other.
Right. I'm not aware from my perspective of a use case where we need to have differing layout formats. Generally, the consistency is what we've wanted for wallets.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all this is doing, is just saying constrain it to this type. Is there any other?
We're coming. We got 2 minutes left. We've only got a 45-minute meeting today. So
this should run from 8 to 9, Jason.
Oh, I added my meeting as a 45. Great. All right. Well, let's carry on then.
Cool. Sorry, I cut someone off. Question?
Yeah. So the overlays also allow you, and you've shown a little bit of this, to deal with localization and the like. So, you know, multilingual cards and the like. And so is there or does there need to be accommodation for a layout difference based on localization, or is it just like different, you know, strings and formatting for localization?
I think that's a good point, because what if you have right to left languages?
I can talk a little bit about that, because that's why we're moving from the previous card layout, because it had number of characters kind of defined. And we noticed that, for instance, in French, it tends to be like 25 to 50% actually larger to English counterpart when it comes to text, for instance. So the new layout that you're seeing here allows for a longer text support and enable accessibility label and voice and reading text. And it also wraps around. I guess the one thing that you're not showing, Akif, is that the text just wraps around on the next line. And the card grows vertically depending on the content, as opposed to the other one, you kind of had a fixed real state of the card. So
yeah, so here the this is a good example of here where, because it was side by side, this could often get cut off. Whereas in the newer sort of layout, because it's more like a list, it's easy to wrap, as Klessy was saying.
Yeah, so the translation and the localization was one of the main motivation towards moving to this new one. Can it adjust to the language? In theory, yes, but we have define right now that the card layout. Can you go back to the specification, to the code? That I don't think the card layout is actually language specific. It's language agnostic, so apply to any language.
Yeah, right now it's language agnostic. The only thing that is language specific is the actual labeling itself of terms. So for example, if you have an attribute or the name of the card or the name of the issuer itself.
And that is defined by OCA. So it's one of the standard layers. That is the labels and the meta. Those are all coming from OCA. So we're just adding a layer. So there are some questions whether that this branding needs to be localized or language specific or not. We have opted or agreed upon to start with not localized, but we could make it localized as well. I guess one of the questions was like, do people include text in the logo? I remember having this conversation, the design team that mentioned that including text in the logo is generally a bad practice. But that's a good question. The answer is like, we didn't know for sure, but we are evolving towards making sure that it's more, adapts better with different languages.
I also don't think we have to have the full answer today, meaning getting to this step will put us in a much better position to further adapt to say, okay, do we want to have different layouts depending on the language for right to left or left to right or the various different cases. And so I think we won't get everything perfect on the first step, but this is a good step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Do you want to change tack in the conversation and talk a little bit about how to get contributions from others and what this might look like as an NPM? Oh, sorry, Warren, you have your thumb up. And how we might get this published as an NPM package. I think while this is obviously meant for Bifold, the way Bifold works with React, you know, it could be used for any kind of webby type of wallet in the future. So, you know, an NPM package does have some advantages there. So thoughts on contributions and repackaging this?
Yeah, so we started some effort on that. discussed that a while ago with Stephen on our OCA meetings. And I guess he's working on getting us a Hyperledger account. Meanwhile, I created an NPM package, a public repo. I guess I moved the code there. It's just for, I'll share my screen 1 second. So it's very simple. It's just a resolver for the OCA resolver. And I tested it with Ontario Wallet and it seems working fine. Has some dependencies on Aries framework. Of course, that's something that should be worked out in the future to have a mapping layer just to not depend directly on Aries framework. But anyway, that's a good first step. I guess if this contributed back to by fold, that would be great. Something like changes Akif made would be reflected right away to Ontario Wallet and all other.
Yeah, so wallets, I'm thinking like we move the OCA types
it's
and
just,
classes
yeah.
over into
just
that
package. File, the class you created. The resolver is the one that I'm adding it right now, and everything else is on the wallet. But I mean, this is the core of resolving the package, and it's very important to be shared in NPM. That's the time to do it because you've done a very great job, Akif. So,
nice work, Akif.
I've also refactored that class a lot. So if you guys see fit to like change it up, just please provide comments.
Yeah. So what I will do is I'll take your latest version, add it on the alt match. I just did a very slight change that I'll discuss in the OCA meeting, but it's not something that needs a lot of attention, as opposed to doing it as an NPM instead of adding it as a simple class.
So where would that NPM package live? Does Hyperledger have an NPM repository, James? Is that where you were getting something created? Or are we going to just publish it out of the... Because our GitHub repo, I believe, can act also as an NPM repository. A little more tricky to get at, but not significantly.
I think that doing it as an actual NPM package would be beneficial. I also, like, we may be able to utilize the same account as AFJ is using. It doesn't have to be under the same, it wouldn't have to be like under AFJ/core, using the same NPM organization or account, if you will. One thing I do want to throw out is, I don't know if it's the right solution, but we had talked about having a bifold, I forget the term for it, but having like a bifold/core, right? You could do it a bifold/OCA. But I think it seems like we're talking about this in a even broader sense. So it could be separate if we wanted.
Maybe OCA core. I don't, Klesi might know, and Akif, the architecture a bit better, but are there more things? Like, well, could this become an ecosystem or is it just a one thing?
Right now it's just the resolver and the bundle. It's two classes. So I don't know.
It's just a resolver. Yeah.
What I would say is, let's make it easy for us to be able to pull in the package and develop on it, because if we have things that are too separate, then it just becomes a challenge when we want to make updates.
So I guess what I propose off of that is that one of the next steps from the bifold roadmap perspective, I think, is to get the mono repo set up and working. And that puts us moving forward on the new architecture perspective and would allow us to actually work on the, in this case, the OCA, the corresponding OCA package. So that moves us forward in two directions.
Yeah. So the faster the direction is, the better, because we need to be able to embrace changes Akif did and instead of copy and paste. And we also have some changes in Ontario on the OCA resolver. So the faster one, the better. I mean, the NPM is there. It's just copy and paste.
Cool. I can take a look at moving forward on the monorepo perspective.
So can I just interject that? So I have a draft PR for converting from NPM to Yarn. It's functionable. I just need to change the GitHub actions, but it's in draft mode right now. But if anyone is available, provide some feedback, it would be great.
Yeah, I can take a look at that.
Because that would be your first step towards supporting monorepo and multiple packages and workspaces.
Right.
So just to recap, the plan would be to, you know, get Klessio's PR merged because Yarn has a bit better support for workspaces and again aligns with AFJ.
Yeah.
We'll create some subfolders in the bifold repo, and those will essentially be where other components live. And one of those could be OCA, which as part of, let's say, an action or by manual intervention, we will go into that directory and then publish an NPM package for OCA to approximately the same place as where AFJ lives right now. Does that sound about right if I summed it up?
I believe so.
I like it.
Would that be good architecture for having maintainers for, because OCA, you know, it's a layer, the visual layer for that will affect all the wallets. So needs to have maintainers for each province, at least one.
I would say so, and that it's going to, if it lives as a package on a monorepo in the bifold repo, it would have the same maintainers as the bifold project. So if we get that right, then we'll also have the same privileges for the OCA portion.
Yeah, I'd keep it simple for now. Just we'll change. We can always change it in the future if things get a bit weird with access, but. Since I think this group is going to be the primary maintainers of it, and we all orbit around that bifold repo, it seems fine to put it in there now.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, I think that is the end of the meeting. We are 4 minutes out. Anybody have any closing comments, questions, concerns, last minute to do an intro?
Thank you for listening to me go off on the branding, and sorry if there was a bit of confusion there, but
your hard work's appreciated, Keith. That looks great.
Thank you to the work that you've done on the OCA.
Oh, thank you guys. Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, it looks phenomenal. Thank you again.
I think at the next call, it would be interesting to talk about how we're going to get that to be published, because I think the idea is eventually to. Or maybe that's the OCA call. I don't know. We'll talk about that on the OCA call. Like that bundle's supposed to live elsewhere at a well-known URL and be pulled in at runtime. So we can talk about that during the OCA call. Might be just interesting to get the conversation going. With that said, thanks everybody for joining today. Hope you have a great rest of your week. And we'll talk to you 2 weeks from today, same time. Bye,
Thank
everybody.
You.
Thank you. Bye.